And the name of the book is Baby Steps. So Bob is having issues, like he's a germaphobe, okay, so he can't touch doorknobs, and he's afraid of people, and he has a pet goldfish, and he carries his goldfish around with him everywhere. So he's like really, he's really a nutcase, okay? So he meets with Bob, and Bob helps him out. Well, Bob is going to go on vacation. So to Lake Okechamami or something, some goofy little lake name, okay? So the crazy guy follows him on vacation, and he's like interrupting everything. And this, the psychiatrist is having an interview about his book, and Bob is wrecking everything. But Bob starts to get free. Bob begins to be released from all of his hang-ups, you know? Like, he doesn't have to wipe a doorknob. And, you know, he's just starting to get free. And in one of these scenes, it's absolutely beautiful because Bob is going to go sailing with the doctor. And Bob is not really wanting... Bob's the doctor, I'm sorry. The psycho finds his way into this family, and he endears himself so that the kids love Bob. Bob's life... I don't know the psycho's name. I'm sorry. But everybody loves this crazy guy except for the psychiatrist. So one day he's out sailing, and the psycho gets on the boat, and he's always afraid. Like, he wouldn't even go swimming. You know, he put his foot in the water and then, you know, get his foot out. And he goes, finally gets on the boat, and he's, like, really afraid. But in the middle of this ride, something fantastic happens. The sick guy gets free, all right? And he's on the front of the boat, and he's like this, and he says, "I'm sailing! I'm sailing!" Okay, he's, like, so happy that he's finally free, that he can sail. And I think all of us, when we see that movie, you really should see this movie, we're with him. We're like, yes, you can do this. You're sailing. It's great. You know, and in every one of our lives, there are some things that hang us up. Isn't that true? But at that moment, he was in his, what I call, sweet spot living. He was free, you know. It's like going into exam week. You know, it's unnerving. But in the middle of your exam, when you've studied hard and you've got the answers, you stand up in the middle of class, everybody is silent, and you scream, "I'm sailing!" Because you've got it. It's like, I've got this. I studied hard. I can do it. Okay? And it's like, God wants us to have these sweet spot moments in life. How many of you saw the movie Kate and Leopold? Okay, what? Asians don't watch television or movies? What is this? Kate and Leopold. You got to see Kate and Leopold. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you haven't seen this. No, you've really got to see this movie. Because, how does it work? Leopold is from another time. He's from, like, I don't know, 1500s or 1600s, where men were chivalrous, and they dressed well, and they were polite, and they opened doors for ladies, okay? And Kate was just a regular woman, you know, living in New York. And somehow, Leopold comes. Anyhow, long story short, they fall in love. Love. Can you say love? Say love. Oh, go ahead. Love. Say it. Love, yeah, okay, love is, like, so good. Love is a sweet spot, okay, I'm just saying, all right? When two people fall in love, it's like, ooh, you know, it's, like, all good, okay? So, anyhow, they fall in love. And so what we want to do is find out, like, wow, how come they get to be happy? I'm sailing. They're falling in love, and here I am the week after exams, okay? So God wants us to find sweet spot living. It's so important. The Bible is full of this. And Jesus said that he came to give us life and to give us life in great abundance. He said, I've come to bring joy and joy in abundance. So, like, of all the people on the whole planet, Christians ought to be the happiest, the most on fire, the most sweet spot living people that have ever lived on the earth. Okay? Except for the Adam and Eve and everything good before it went bad, okay? And we're headed back to that, all right? Sweet spot living, it's throughout the Bible. Adam awoke one day, maybe a little pain in his side, where God had taken a rib out, made his partner. Because he could see, like, all these other animals had, like, you know, male or female companions, and they're all, like, connected. And for Adam, it's like, okay, where's mine? You know, he didn't have one. So he was lonely. Strange thing. Lonely. But the Bible says that God walked with him throughout the day. And yet he was lonely? How does that work? Okay? God saw that we need companionship with each other. So Eve was brought to him. Sweet spot living. Fantastic. Noah works all those years, builds an ark, and ends up one day on top of a mountain high and dry. Sweet spot living. He and his family, 8 people, saved. Sweet spot living is like, we made it. Yes, this is awesome. Okay? Abraham and Sarah finally had a child. Okay? Their dream came true. Hang on to that word dream. David slew Goliath. Can you imagine? I was asking a kid the other day, I said, you know, did you ever, like, in your play, did you dream big, like you were really some superhero? You know, and this kid's, like, in 8th grade, and it was probably just last week, but he said, well, yeah, when I was in 5th grade, I had a Buzz Lightyear gun. Now, do you know who Buzz Lightyear is? Oh, okay, good. So he said he had a Buzz Lightyear gun. And I said, well, what did you do with your gun? He goes, I went out in the backyard and I shot everything. So he went like, bam! He goes like, yeah, and I got it. It wasn't even there, but he got it, okay? Because in his mind, it was a sweet spot. He was a great shot, okay? So, sweet spot living is what we want, okay? Dreams come true. Well, what is sweet spot living? In a real concise definition, here we go. Living in perfect unity with the Lord. Okay? Living in unity with Him. Another way to look at it is being led by His indwelling Spirit. So we're always being led by the Lord. We know that what we are doing is what He wants us to be doing, and we're right on. We're just right on. We're just good. We're good. We're there. Okay? It's like harmony with the universe, with God, and with other people as much as lies within us, okay? It's great. Sweet spot thinking is thinking His thoughts. Now that means you can't think your own thoughts, because the Bible teaches that. Sweet spot living is doing His will. That means not doing your own will. All right? Get the idea there's some sacrifice here. It's remembering His promises of victory and of glory. It's remembering the fact that Jesus said, even though you die, even though your body is cold and stiff, and there's no response, no spirit left in you, that you will live forever. It's remembering that and forgetting the fact that we still have a sin nature that we wrestle with. See, because if you just focus on what's wrong with you, you're going to be bogged down, burdened. As a matter of fact, a little awareness of how bad we are is really good, because it keeps us needy and seeking God. It's receiving Him on a daily basis and then pouring Him out to other people. That is sweet spot living, okay? It's being in complete unity and harmony, in sync with God above. It's our happy place. It's being on track. It's being in your zone and on your game, okay? It's like Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 47, gives this beautiful picture. Ezekiel's having a vision. And in his vision, he sees a temple. And the temple's on a mount, okay? It's on a little bit of a hill. And coming out from under the door of the temple is a river, all right? So this river is coming up from a water that's deep within the earth, it's churning over, and it's flowing out into a river. So Ezekiel goes to the banks of this river, And the Lord says, step in it. So he steps in up to his ankles and then up to his knees and then up to his waist. And as he steps out further, he realizes, you can't walk in this river. There's a current here. And if I continue, I'll have to swim. I'll have to float. I'll have to be driven by the river. My feet will no longer govern where I go, but the river will. That's an awesome picture of sweet spot living. Because we're in the stream of God Almighty. And it takes us wherever that river goes. I live just, you know, like real close to the St. Clair River. You know, maybe 2 miles maybe, okay? And the current is like 6 and 7 miles an hour. I would jump in an inner tube in St. Clair, Michigan. And I'd let that river just carry me all the way down to Marine City. You know, and then get out there and jump in the car, go back up, and just, you know, just ride the river, right? And this river takes us to a beautiful place. Not like the time when I was canoeing on the Asabo, paddling along, paddling on it. This river is long. I don't know where this thing is going. There were signs. They said there were signs. I never saw the signs, okay? We're supposed to take another little turn in the river, but the river was going and going. Nightfall was coming, and I had taken some kids from my youth group, my wife and their mom, and nightfall was coming, and there was no end to this river. And pretty soon, I started going into survival mode, you know. Where will I protect the women and children at night? Me, man, save the family. And pretty soon, so we kept paddling, and pretty soon, we were out in Lake Michigan. I couldn't believe it because we hadn't paid attention. And you know, that's a picture of what it's like to be in the river of contemporary society, the river of this world. It'll take you to a huge place with no particular destination. That water's just huge. Finally, we turned around and we paddled against the stream. And you might have to do that. Paddle against your natural stream to get back into that river of God that flows from the temple of Almighty God, so that we are fully led by His Spirit. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Jesus said, and this river, you find this river throughout Scripture. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, it was the last day, the great day of the feast, and Jesus stood and He said with a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come unto Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture says, rivers of living water shall flow from his innermost being." And He spoke of that concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the truth of the matter is, there is a river that is an experience, and there is a river that flows within. But somehow, that river gets stopped up sometimes and turns into something that is far more like the Dead Sea. As a matter of fact, the cool thing is, out of Ezekiel 47, the river that he sees there flows into the Dead Sea and into the Mediterranean Sea, and the Dead Sea comes alive. It's awesome. So God is speaking to us that if we will find and make room for the Holy Spirit in our lives, He'll bring life to that which was death. Okay? The Scripture says that that body of water is filled with fish. And we know God's called us to be fishers of men. He'll make us fruitful, fruitful, if we will find the sweet spot living. So what I'd like to do is take a look at some sweet spot moments throughout Scripture, all right? And in these moments, there's a reaction that is almost like, are you kidding me? I can't believe this just happened. For example, David, we mentioned him earlier, picks up these 5 little stones, and he takes out this huge giant that an entire army couldn't defeat. That was sweet spot living. Jumps on top of the guy, pulls his giant sword out of Goliath's hand, and chops off the giant's head and picks it up. That head had to be heavy. Besides, you know, David was just a kid. How cool is that? Okay? Sweet spot living. Pretty soon he's got the attention of everybody. King Saul, you know, makes him his armor bearer, you know, and takes him on and all that sort of stuff. And then he's persecuted, and his life goes into a terrible scene after that. But we also have people like Joseph, and I want us to really think about Joseph today. Joseph was a little kid. He had a dream. I mean, just had a dream. He went to sleep. He couldn't control his dreams. He just dreamt that his brothers were all going to bow down before him. Big deal, right? He had an exciting dream. He wakes up and he realizes, I just had a great dream. I can't wait to share this dream. So he shares his dream. You know, having sweet spot living comes with a dream. It's very important. Very important for you and I to dream. Big dreams, okay? Of course, then we know what happened, okay? Then he went to the pit, his brother sold him. Then to Potiphar's house. And then to prison. And then from prison, he became a prince. And from there, they made a great movie. He ended up in Hollywood as a star character. Joseph, Prince of Egypt, okay? Did you see that movie? Some of you have, okay? Just kind of a fun thing. Great story, all right? And we'll pick up on some of that a little bit later. How many of you have ever seen Beauty and the Beast? All right! Okay, good, 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 good. Well, in that movie, you know, we have the Beast, right? Where's Amadeus? Amadeus, would you come on up here for a minute? I'd like for you to be our Beast today, okay? The Beast experienced a sweet spot moment. Okay, stand right here. Now give us, right over here. Okay, that's good. Right there. Okay, good. Now give us a beastly look. Oh, that's great. Okay. Love it. Okay. Now remember the scene, okay, where he, like the last petal on the rose, is ready to fall. And he hasn't connected yet. This whole love thing, because love is always the answer. If you're an ugly beast, you really need to find somebody to love you really bad, okay? So that you can be a handsome prince. Okay, very good. This is Beast. This is handsome prince. Okay, right now he's a beast. Okay. So what happened in that last scene? Remember that scene? I love that scene. So what happened was he fell to the ground. You know what I'm saying? And then he falls down. And then this wind. This holy wind comes in. You know, we need some wind. I need you and you. Come up with me. Okay, I need some more wind. Jonathan, would you come up and be some wind? Oh, Jonathan. He was hoping I wouldn't see him. Okay, so we picked the big beast, and then we've got this little wind, okay? Now, what I want you guys to do, okay, he's going to die in just a minute. It's going to be terrible, okay? No weeping, okay? And then I want you three are going to be the wind, and you're whirling around him. Like, can you do that? Okay. All right, well, I'll do that, okay? So you three, run, and you come down low. You got to run low, okay? You run low like this, okay? And then as you go around him, you start to get tall, and then you make wind with your hands, okay? And then he is going to come back to life. He's going to whirl around. Are you listening? Okay, good. You're going to whirl around. You're going to go like this and then look real sad. Like, and then as you get off, you go, okay, then be real happy, okay? Okay, good, good, good. And then the rest of you, we can't do this without music because this is a sweet spot living moment, okay? All right, so you position yourself here. And you're right here. And then when he dies, you just start to become wind, okay? Okay, good. And then you guys, I need you to go. When I give you the cue, I need you to go, okay, let's practice, okay, one time. It wasn't glorious. Let's just do it again. Okay, one more time. Okay. Okay, fantastic, okay. And then, see, now you're going to have to pay attention because it's going to be, okay, get it real loud, okay, and then he's going to be this great prince, okay? Okay, here we go. Okay, die. Okay, win, win. Oh, look at him, he's beautiful. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Now, the point is that, you know, that beast had to go through a lot of trials. Oh, my goodness. Remember? He was angry because he was a beast. And so he went through all these trials. But one thing, kept him on track. What was it? What kept him moving forward? That's right. Oh, my goodness. Stand up and show him your face and say love again. Oh, that was so cool. I mean, doesn't everybody just want to be loved? Okay, when she said it, it's like I can't even imitate her. You know, London. Love. Okay. All right. Love. Love kept that beast on track. It didn't matter what he was going to face. As a matter of fact, he fought for her at the end. You know, he fought that, whatever he fought, I can't remember, the enemy. Oh, Gaston. Was it Gaston? Okay, yeah. You know, and he bled. Oh, he was wounded. He almost died. That's right. He was lying there bleeding. Okay? And then when her love, you know, she reciprocated. You know, he comes back to life. It's awesome. Sweet spot living. The point of the whole story is that we have to go through things in order to get to sweet spot moments and sweet spot living. There are moments when Goliath comes down. There are moments when the ark rests. Okay, there are moments in Scripture when Mary, you know, was pregnant and Elizabeth comes and visits her and bam, they go into this incredible song. It's fantastic. Same thing with Elizabeth, okay? It's awesome when that happens. So we want those moments. But likewise, there's a living process that we have to go through in order to have sweet spot living. Like a full-time kind of thing, you know? Why just have a great time in an instant of time when you can have it long range? And you know, sometimes, because I've often thought, this whole teaching, preaching thing, it's like, really? Like, what for? What's the, you know, it happens in such a short time on Sunday, and then do we really live this stuff out later on? And then how do I convince people? You really need God! I mean, I could say it in funny ways, I could dramatize it, but you know what, maybe you're just fine. Maybe you got it all together. Maybe you're cool and you really don't need this whole Jesus church thing and all this trials of going on with God and loving Him. Can't even see Him, you know. Maybe you're not even happy with Him. So why should you connect? This is a big job, okay? But I think it's worthwhile. I think it's worthwhile. You've got money, you've got a good education, you've got parents who love you, you've got friends, music, iPod, computers, sports. All right, have a nice day. See you later. Just kidding. See, that was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible had it all going on. Everything was cool. He was fine. Life was great. His kingdom was glorious. And he said, I got it together. And God said, oh yeah, watch this. And instead of turning from, you know, an ugly beast into a handsome prince, he turned from a king of glory into a beast. And it says that he roamed around for like 7 years. And he ate grass like an animal. And he grew feathers. And he grew claws. He was a beast. Right? And at the end of that time, he came to his senses. And then he said, the God of heaven, the King of kings and Lord of lords, he is the one who rules, not me. And he gave God glory. See? So, you might have to face, I mean, if you think everything is cool and you got it all together and all sweet and fine, like this Jesus thing, yeah, okay, you can add him on, you know. God's not an add-on. He's at the center of everything. He is the reason for everything, okay? He's not just something we need to include in your backpack along with all your other books, throw a little Bible in there. It's not it. The whole backpack. As a matter of fact, if you really know God, I'll tell you what, your chemistry book is full of God. Your math book is full of God. Your biology book is so full of God because He created all that stuff. Okay? So it's time to see Him for who He really is at the center of everything. And then we can begin to live in the sweet spot living. It's fantastic. Okay? After many years of experiencing God's intervention in the mountains and in the valleys of life, then you build this confidence so that instead of saying at a sweet spot moment, wow, I can't believe that just happened, or are you kidding me? That was cool. You begin to live with an attitude of, I got this. I'm cool. It's not that I got this, but I know my God has got this, and everything's going to be fine. Got this. Okay? And that happens to certain people in Scripture. All right? They understand that everything is good. Of course, Jesus lived that way. All right? So, to use him as an example, because he said, I only speak those things I hear my Father speak. I only do those things I see my Father do. He's the ultimate. But there are other people like that. Remember Enoch in the book of Genesis? It says he walked with God and was not. He just walked with God and he was just translated into heaven. How cool is that? He just, that's his testimony. He pleased God and he walked with him 365 years. That's awesome to me. The Apostle Paul, he lived in constant connection with the Lord and led by the Holy Spirit so that he could say in Romans chapter 8 some incredible things. You know, he said, what can separate us from the love of God? You know, how do we respond to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who didn't spare his own son but gave him up for all of us? How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I mean, here's a man who suffered. His life was a pattern of suffering as a Christian. As a matter of fact, in those days, if you weren't suffering as a Christian, you weren't considered a really on-fire Christian. Your Christianity was just kind of mediocre, okay? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then? Lost my spot. Who then is the one who will condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is risen to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. And he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Is that your testimony? I am more than a conqueror. Let's say it together. I am more than a... Very good. I couldn't hear you over my own voice. All right? I am more than a conqueror. That's sweet spot living. To really understand that. This chapter 8 is incredible. It's absolutely fantastic. He says, for we know that all things are working together for good, for those who are called in Christ Jesus. I love King Hezekiah. Not Hezekiah. Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat did all these things for the kingdom of God. He tore down this, he tore down that. And you know what the Bible says? That he was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. You know, he did something for God. He took some steps to build the kingdom of God. And then it says, and he was lifted up. You know, have you ever done something that was like really cool? And afterwards you thought, that was really cool? You know, like, you, I don't know, maybe you played in a baseball. I hit a home run one time, okay, just once, you know. And I thought, that was so cool. I want to do it again. You know? You ever have that experience? Yeah. You know? It's exciting. It's exciting. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to get you today and myself to this place. How can I get to my sweet spot experience in living? Would you like to experience this today? Would you like to have that sense that God is just smiling at you? Well, it's 3D, okay? And I think this is kind of cool because three-dimensional means it's real life. It's not just words on paper. The first thing is dream, second is desire, and the third is do. This is a key to sweet spot living. The first one is dream. Joseph had a fantastic dream, okay? He dreamt that he was going to be this tremendous ruler. It's awesome. So dreaming. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, and he set his seal of ownership upon us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Here's the point. Every one of us this morning has a little bit of God's Holy Spirit. Now, he gave his Spirit without measure, and he gives his Spirit by measure for different purposes in our lives. The point is this. We already have this Holy Spirit in us. However, we can squelch the Spirit, okay? But that Spirit, he says, is a down payment. It's a little bit of money, okay? Like if you're going to buy something that's really expensive, like a car, you'll give them some money as a down payment. And they keep that money. And you remember, I'm going to get the whole car someday. I'm going to get the whole thing. It's going to be so cool. It's red. It's convertible. It's fast. It's wonderful. Okay? If you're a little older, it's a minivan. If you're really young, it's a four-wheeler, you know, or a tricycle. Okay? If you're a young teenager, it's your ATV vehicle. Yeah, your motorcycle, whatever. Okay? But you don't have it yet. But that little bit of money is a guarantee that you're going to get the whole thing. That's really cool, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but if I have a little bit of God, I want the whole thing. I want all of it. And that's what the Scripture is saying. It is saying that we, later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "For a while we are in this tent or in these bodies, we groan and we are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that which is mortal is swallowed up of life." What he's saying is that there's this yearning in every one of our hearts. There's an emptiness there that can only be filled with the Lord in his sweet spot living. So we need to dream. We need to dream. David, you know, dreamt. Joseph had a dream. All right? And I believe this, that when God, in the Garden of Eden, told Adam to take dominion over the cattle, over the birds, and over the fish, and over all the earth, that those words, "take dominion," made man a ruler on earth. And it's still within us. It's like it was in Adam's bloodstream. And it went to, you know, Seth. And it went all the way to Noah. And it got off the ark and his kids. And it came all the way down to you and I. So it's still in our blood. There's this desire to rule on the earth because that was Adam's first charge. And that means having our sweet spot of rulership. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "If you're obedient, I'll make you a ruler. If you're good with what I've given you, I'll make you a ruler." Why? Because it's implanted in us. We see this in our homes. Who's the head of your house? Oh my goodness. Is it mom or is it dad? Who has the position, but who wants to rule? See, we always want to rule. It's in us. So God wants us to rule in our sweet spot. The second D, and dream. And dream about that. Don't be embarrassed by the fact that, you know, you want order. You want things set right. All right? It's just the way it is. You want to have power over your problems. And you want to have power over the people that give you problems. That's part of our rulership. That's part of our dreaming. And in every one of these situations, we see that David had authority over Goliath. That Joseph had authority over his brothers, over all of Egypt, over the inheritance of God, because he found his sweet spot living. And until we have that same, you know, charge that was given to Adam, delivered to us, and worked out in our lives, we're going to be earthbound instead of heavenly minded. And that's a problem, okay? So the first thing is to dream, and the second thing is to have desire. I could put all of this out here this morning, and without desire, it's going to stay here. All right? So let that desire the desires that are from God in your life continue to fuel you. And then the third one is to do the things that need to be done. All right? We have to take steps. And I don't know, one of my favorite things of all in nature are caterpillars. How many of you like caterpillars? Do you think they're kind of cool? Yeah, they're really cool, aren't they? They're like fuzzy, and they're so full of color, you know? And the Bible even talks about it. Jacob said to God, I am but a worm. I'm just a caterpillar. And there's another portion. It says, I'm but a worm. So you like caterpillars? You do. Would you come up here, please? You know, caterpillars are cool, but you wouldn't want to stay a caterpillar your whole life. No. Because then you would just be crawling along and eating leaves, right? Okay. And I don't have any leaves for you to eat today, but I should have brought some lettuce. You know, you could just eat the lettuce. So what happens to a caterpillar, do you know? It goes into a cocoon. It does. Okay. So, and you know what they do? They hang on a branch. See that branch? He's hanging on that branch. Better hang on with two hands. Okay. You're kind of heavy cocoon. Okay. And then so he hangs on to that branch. Here, grab it. Okay. And then he becomes this cocoon. Okay? This is where I get dizzy and fall down. So he's wrapped up in this cocoon, and it's really starting to get claustrophobic in there, isn't it?
Right.
It's all right? Okay, good. You're all wrapped. I am so dizzy. Somebody come up here and help me. Do you want to do this? All right. All right. Go. No, let's have... Oh, forget it. I'm liking this dizziness now. All right, you know what? He can't see me, so he doesn't know. Can you see me?
Yeah.
You can? Oh, that's too bad. All right. So he is all wrapped up. Let's just do the quick little job. Whoops. I'm going to stick this in your pocket because I don't want it to fall off. There we go. All right. All right, so here's a cocoon now, okay? Now, this is part of the process. How would you like to not be just a little caterpillar, a little worm? Wouldn't that be fun? What's your name?
James.
James?
Yeah.
James, have you ever dreamt of flying, James?
Yes, yeah.
I have too. How many of you have dreamt of flying before? Raise your hand. Look at it. It's true. Isn't this crazy? Think about it for a minute. God made us the very best of all creation. We're the ultimate. He made us in His image and His likeness. And the birds can fly and we can't? Is that a little weird? We can't fly. See? Temporarily we can't fly. And I could go into a whole thing about how we can fly spiritually. But this poor worm, you know, he's all bound up now in this prison. What kinds of things do you think keep you in prison in life?
Just like, yes, the words of other people. Sometimes.
The words of other people. Oh, my goodness. If I had a marker now, I could write on here, bad words from other people. James is a nerd. Okay? And you go, oh, that hurts. I feel like I'm in a prison now. Okay? What other things keep you in prison? Like, use up your time too much.
I guess, like, worry.
Worry. Oh, that'd be terrible. That one I'd write up here on his head, okay? Yeah. What takes up, like, most of your time that really... keeps you all confined? School?
Yes, yeah.
School. Oh, we'd write bad school on here. Okay, it takes too much time. Yeah, video games?
Not so much, actually.
Not so much video games. Oh, it's free video games. That's good. Okay, so now if I told you that you didn't have to crawl anymore and you could stop hanging around this tree, that you could fly, would you be happy?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you break out of your cocoon? Look at him. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, you're awesome. Okay, now just fly back to your seat. Can you fly there? Oh, no, don't worry about that. We'll get that. Yeah. Okay, fly for us. Oh, you got a little cocoon left on. Okay, there. Fly. Oh, he's incredible. Awesome. All right. Now, the point is this. There are times in life, get this, this is so important, okay, that you will be in a prison. Think about it. Most of God's great people ended up in prison. Joseph, Daniel was taken into captivity, the Apostle Paul was in prison, all of the early church, and then you go into church history, they end up in prison. Now, what is your prison today? Maybe it doesn't have bars and a great big old ugly guard, but it's a prison. Now, let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I drove over a caterpillar with my bike, and it got squished, and I went down and I looked at it. And it had guts, okay? It had guts. Green guts, little nerdy things, like stomachs and stuff. I don't know what it all was, okay? And then I took a cocoon one day. I was a little kid, and I cracked it open. I just wanted to see what was inside. Okay? So I cracked it open, and inside was just a clear goo. It was clear. It's like all the guts, the insides, disappeared, and it turned into this clear goo. And I'm like, whoa, that's really weird. Okay? And then there were other cocoons. When they would break out themselves, they just start to wiggle a little on a branch, and they have to struggle. You cannot help a cocoon to release a butterfly, because it has to struggle. You have to struggle. David had to struggle in Egypt. Job had to struggle through his trial. Paul, it wasn't fun having a chain around your leg in prison. But he had a party in prison. And so there's struggle. I'm telling you, there's struggle to get to sweet spot living. You don't want to crawl anymore. You don't want to hang from a tree anymore. You want to be able to fly, okay? But there's struggle to get those wings out, okay? And that struggle forces the body fluid, the blood, through those wings. So all the little capillary in there make those wings strong so that it can fly. And you know what? Those monarch butterflies, they hatch from their cocoons way up in by the Sichuan Lighthouse in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And when they're done, you know where they fly? Anybody know where they fly? They fly all the way to Mexico. They fly across the Gulf of Mexico. They can fly, okay? And that's what God has for every single one of us. What is it going to take? You want your sweet spot living. I know you do. You're born that way. You're made that way. Your DNA is screaming for freedom over things that hassle you, things that people say about you. Okay? The time crunch of being too busy with whatever. Okay? God wants you to be free. Now, I'm going to tell you what you can do, and you can do it or you don't have to do it. It's totally up to you. But I challenge you, just like in our prayer class, our Sunday morning Bible class on prayer, I challenge everybody, do some ridiculous, radical obedience. Obey God in some new, crazy way. He will honor you, okay? One of our guys, Ryan, was testifying about, a step of obedience. I gave him a little book. I had him carry it in his pocket to write down things that God speaks, And one day he found himself in a place of solitude at school. And he had that book and he took it out and he read what was in there that he had written that Jonathan here had shared in class. He read Jonathan's words and then God gave him a whole message while he was in a place of confinement for a little bit. So I'm telling you, obedience is crazy cool. It's awesome. It's awesome. Because we want to live this 3D kind of a life. Dream. And then desire. And then do what God tells us to do. All right? That is the key. That is the ultimate key to being in our sweet spot with the Lord. It's what His plan is for every one of our lives. Radical obedience. The Bible says, draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. It's real simple. You want to know who's tight with God? Just watch their lives. You want to know who's the coolest one in this room? It's the one who sacrifices the most, their own thoughts, their own ways, and gives it all to God, and finds themselves in that river out of Ezekiel 47, just carried along in all of God's ways. It's fantastic. The Bible says, Jesus said, all right, guys, I got to leave. His disciples said, whoa, where are you going? He says, don't worry about it. You can't go where I'm going at this point. Okay? And so Jesus said, but you know what? We'll make ourselves known to you. My Father and I will make ourselves known to you. One of his disciples named Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how are you going to make yourself known to us? How are we going to live this sweet spot living? He said, if you love me, the big question, do you love God? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my Father and I will come to you and will live inside of you. And you will have no doubt that we are living with you. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay, let's have our response song come up. And as they play, let's meditate on this. Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to take those steps? You know, God's given to us this morning. I'm just so happy with, you know, my sweet spot living this morning. I feel like he's communicated to everybody who has a hunger this morning. And now it's up to you to make that choice.